Yeah.
Hey, if you look over there at that thing over there, I promise I will not hit you in the head with a hammer.
What? Ow! Oh, Rashi! Ow! Oh, that wasn't funny!
April Fool's!
It's not April Fool's. It was April Fool's last week.
Well, it is April and you're a fool, so I guess we're all set.
Hi, ow, I'm Paul Dini.
I'm Misty Lee, and I'm so glad I was on the other side of the room for that.
Oh, I guess we got a whole month to look forward to of that.
Absolutely. Well, you do, because I never fall for it.
I don't know. He doesn't know what an April Fool's joke is.
I think he does. I think he just does not care.
No, it's just, it's in his hands, it's violence, it's hurting. It's like on April Fool's morning, I got out of bed, and he just smashed me in the face with an empty milk bottle. That's not a joke. That's just violence.
It's comedy, though.
Well, I look silly as a result with, you know, sitting there bleeding, picking glass out of my eyebrows.
Yes, but,
you
know.
All right. Well, he's got a strange sense of humor.
That's my son.
Yeah. Super Rica just sticks habanero sauce all over my eggs and watches me explode. He thinks that's pretty funny.
Well, remember that one year he put it in your eyes?
Yeah, that was good. Yeah, I was walking around all blurry, hitting things and everything.
Did you play any April Fool's pranks on anybody, Ezra?
No, I didn't. I did enjoy, I guess, is Brian Singer's April Fool's joke on the media.
Which one?
Oh, the Lady Gaga joke? Yeah, that was great.
Exactly. Oh, I didn't see that. Did you guys see the Doctor Who one?
No, which one was
Tell
that?
Me the Lady Gaga first.
Well, this is really, only Uber geeks would get this.
Yeah.
Okay.
he said that he had cast Lady Gaga as the Dazzler in the new X-Men movie. Do you know who the Dazzler is? Dazzler was a Marvel Comics character that they created in the late 70s, the height of the disco phase.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She had the worst costume ever. It was like a one-piece, baggy, silver spandex thing that made her look kind of like a shiny nurse more than anything.
Awesome.
I mean, they should have put her in a dress or, you know, tight leggings.
Disco ball meets nurse and roller skates. Welcome to the 70s.
I was looking forward to Dazzler in a meat suit, so that's...
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Anything would have been better. Bjork's swan costume would have been better, but
Bjork's swan costume is the best.
Yeah,
and that is all there is to it.
But they explained that the Dazzler was somebody who, when the light was, she was a mutant who could create dazzle light mm-hmm. effects, and she sang and everything like that. I think they were trying to con Olivia Newton-John into playing the character in a movie. I remember at the time
she did Xanadu. I don't know why she wouldn't do that.
Well, that was the idea. It was like, you know, we have all these pop disco divas. Let's create the Dazzler and, you know, introduce her, you know, in the Marvel universe and make a big splash about it. That way Olivia Newton-John or whoever will play her. And she was just one of the most lamest characters, but a character that a lot of people love from that 70s period, mm-hmm. you know, where they were just coming up with anything.
Like, sure. Just kind of throwing stuff at the wall. Well, the Doctor Who one was they put up a big notice that said they had replaced Matt Smith and they were announcing the next Doctor Who.
Oh, really? Nice.
And it was going to be Maggie Smith.
That would be awesome.
Uh-huh.
Crotchety Maggie Smith.
That would be rad.
It
is Matt Smith and Maggie Smith.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Like,
Maggie
I didn't
Smith
screw up
is
that. Because I was like,
one
I was
from Harry Potter.
Yeah. Miss McGonagall.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's who it was. And people were going crazy. They were like, I kind of buy it. I think it's kind of okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, they've been teasing having a woman doctor for a long time, but really old and a classic actress.
It's awesome.
But you know, the only
totally take Judi Dench walking out of the TARDIS and like whooping ass. But Maggie Smith, I think, would be a great choice. It would be hilarious.
Well, Matt Smith is going to hang off to Maggie Smith, who's kind of tired and can only do 3 episodes.
They're going to do Kevin Smith.
Kevin Smith, exactly.
Sorry, there I stepped you on your joke there.
All right.
I didn't know you were going to say that, but I had a feeling.
Oh, yeah. That's where I was going with it, keeping the Smith thing going.
Yes.
But that would be. I saw Maggie Smith's new movie. I took my mom to see it a couple of months ago.
The Marigold Hotel?
No, it was called...
Because that was the last one I remember.
It was Dustin Hoffman directed. I want to say it was like Encores or something like that. It was about...
it's called Tombstone.
No. It was...
Oh, too soon? Not yet.
Not yet, yeah.
Too early.
Way too soon.
It's
too early.
That's
it was called like
early.
The Rehearsal or something like
that.
It was about aging opera singers who lived in a retirement home for aging opera singers in England.
Okay.
And it was.
I'm glad you saw it and not me.
It was quite good. Why? You would have enjoyed it.
It sounds precious.
It was very nice.
Good. I'm very glad.
Yeah.
So you had a good visit with your mother.
Yes. Then and just recently, I was up in Monterey for last weekend.
Yes.
We both had.
For the Easter.
Yeah, we both had really kind of miserable weeks, very busy weeks.
You and your mother, or you and me?
You and me.
I've had a busy life since February.
I mean, yeah, it was nonstop.
It hasn't cut.
Every day.
I never see you guys again.
I know.
We missed you. We kind of feel bad because we got really inconsistent.
We missed so many podcasts, and then you were working. Back to back.
You know what? First world actor problems. I love having them. Yeah. I love having them.
And then
I was working.
Then you went home to visit, but you couldn't visit because you had to go off to Austin and do Google Earth.
Yeah, that was crazy. So I had this trip booked home, and this is how my life has been. I mean, like, it has been Mach 4 with my hair on fire. So I had this trip to go home to Detroit for my niece's birthday. I always do. Mm-hmm. And so I was going to be there. I was going to leave on Thursday and be there Thursday night. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, come home to California Tuesday. So it's like 6 days, you know, 5.5, 6 days or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I get a call that I'm working for Disney Character Voices on Thursday. Awesome. I really want to work for Disney Character Voices. I can't tell you what I was doing, but this is the department where they cast the character voices and also where they voice match. So if the initial actor passes away or whatever, this is the guy.
Yeah.
We want to know him. And I already know him, but I wanted to work with him and I have for a long time. So... no brainer. I got to move my flight. Mm-hmm. So I moved my flight from Thursday to Friday. Then I get a call from Google Earth, and I've been doing some work with Google Earth, that they want me to fly to Austin on Saturday.
But it's Google Earth. Can it be anywhere?
No. This was very...
No, this was to tie in with South by Southwest.
To tie in with South by Southwest. They wanted me to go do a performance. This is Google Earth. We say yes.
Yeah.
So on Thursday, I'm at Disney Character Voices. Friday, I'm in Detroit. Saturday, I'm performing in Austin with no rehearsal. Sunday, I'm back in Detroit. On Monday, they call me and tell me I'm booked Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday for Sony.
Jeez.
And so I fly home. I said, okay, but I can't work until the afternoon on Tuesday. They ended up pushing it to Wednesday and just doubling my session.
All right.
So I'm working now. So I come right home from Detroit and boom, I'm into a session. And we're holding this massive yard sale that same weekend.
Yeah,
but in the middle of it all, Muggsy Jean here.
Muggsy needs an emergency surgery in San Diego, which is 4 hours from our house in traffic. So.
Yeah. And so he needs to have his spleen removed because of a big mysterious mass in the spleen, which could be cancerous, could be nothing.
We know now it is not cancerous.
It is nothing. It's
great.
Just a fatty growth in there.
Yeah.
He's okay.
But he does have Cushing's disease, so it was really important that we get the spleen out so they could check his internal organs visually while they were in there for anything that's weird. And they said that he's got pituitary Cushing's, so this little boy is going to get some medicine and he's going to live a nice, long, healthy life.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, but this whole thing started because Deuce got mange, which he should not have because all dogs have the mange bug. It's called the Demodex bug, and it's got a different name, but it's called Demodex mange. And they all have it running all over their bodies. So next time you pet your dog, think about that.
But he got a cut foot, which
it was more than that. He had been having these little they call them hot spots, like little open wounds pop up. And I thought that's weird. So he kept going to the vet and they kept giving him steroid injections and antibiotics, which is normal for a hot spot treatment. Then he got a hurt foot and they gave him another steroid injection. And he got this really big, raw, open area under his chin. And I sent it to the rescue and I said, you know, this is happening a lot. And now it's super aggressive. This is the worst one he's ever had. And she wrote me back and said, that's not a hot spot. That is mange. And I said, okay. So we took him to the vet. And the vet said, that's not mange, that's a hot spot. And I said, please check him for mange. Sure enough, he's positive.
Oh my goodness.
So we have Deuce checked for mange, and we immediately put him on medicine for that. Meanwhile, they said, we've got to figure out what the underlying cause is, because all dogs have mange, but they naturally fight it off. So there's something wrong with his immune system. Super. So we go through all these tests. I said, if you're going to test one, test the other. Mm-hmm. Test them both. Because I don't want to bring him back and find out that this one's got something that's genetic and they should both, you know, they both have medicine or whatever. So in testing Deuce for mange, they found that Muggsy had Cushing's disease and needed medicine. And then they found the mass on his spleen when checking the Cushing's disease.
Wow.
So if Deuce didn't get mange, we wouldn't know about Muggsy's disease, and he wouldn't have been able to have that surgery. So it was this whole crazy thing, and we still don't know why Deuce got mange, other than it is possible that when dogs get steroid, or anyone gets steroid injections, it can lower your, suppress your immune system.
That's the most likely thing.
And then he woke up after all that weekend on Monday, after the yard sale, after all this craziness. Monday morning, I go, oh, I can finally breathe. The dog wakes up blind. He's blind.
What? He gets out of bed.
His eyes are giant black pupils, and he's walking into shit. And I thought at first he was in pain because his back wrinkles were up. He was scared. He couldn't see. So I take him to the vet, and I said, I think this is a result.
An indication.
It's a result of his medicine.
Cause and effect.
A complication, due to medicine. Due to the medicine that he's taking for his mange. And I suspect, and I'm not a vet, and we have yet to see, they took a genetic test on both Deuce and Muggsy to see if they could tolerate ivermectin, because apparently there's a new test out of University of Washington where they can check their genetic predisposition to be able to tolerate medicine. Mm-hmm. So they sent their, they did more, I'm really sick of seeing blood pulled out of my dog's necks, over it, but they're okay. But they sent their blood away to be tested, and in 2 weeks we find out, and here's what I suspect. Again, I'm not a vet, but I think that now that he's off the steroids, his immune system is kicked back full force, and the ivermectin is an overdose, and he can fight the mange off himself. The only way we're going to know that for sure is by having him tested. You know, like he's going to have to be tested again, and they scrape the skin, and then they look for bugs. Which is disgusting, but whatever.
But he seems to be healing up fine.
And all of his wounds are healing. His eyesight came back immediately, like within hours of stopping the medicine. And it was right after he had got his dose. And Rachel at Boston Buddy said, well, I hope that's the case, because if he's going blind, he might be having seizures, which would indicate a brain tumor. And I'm going, wow, we're like over $10,000 into this right now. I'm not a fan. I want my dogs to be happy and well, and we'll do whatever we have to keep them alive. Mm-hmm. You know, but the bottom line is right now, Deuce is okay. Muggsy's okay. We just have to wait for their medicine tolerance tests so we can get him tested for Cushing's and get him on his medicine. Because right now he's not medicated for Cushing's.
It's all a laugh riot.
Oh my God. But it was just like, it was Disney, Detroit, Austin, Detroit, yard sale, Sony, yard sale, yard sale, yard sale. I mean, it was like crazy. And then emergency surgery in the middle of all that, a trip to San Diego and overnight. Mm-hmm. I came back and worked for Sony again. I mean, it was just...
I had a three-day Marvel site story break that went from Monday, all day Monday through late night on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And that was an intensive 9 to 6 every day.
It was 9 to 8 one day.
Oh, yeah.
Because I called you and I was like, where you at, dude?
I had to do a recording afterwards,
too. I was just going to say, and you were like, this is the only time we can get our actor.
Yeah, yeah. I had to do a recording after that. And then I think I had to do another recording, I don't know, Thursday or something like that. It was a long week.
Yeah.
And it's great because I work with a great team of writers. But
yeah, you do.
The room is grueling. And ask anybody who works in television in any capacity, when you work in the room, you're there. Like when I was on Lost, those were... some long nights.
Yeah, we used to have arguments because you'd say, I'll call you at 10, and you would still be well in the thick of work.
I'd call you at 10 from the office saying,
well, you'd call me at 10 your time.
Yeah.
And I was like, you were supposed to call me at 10 my time. And you were like, darling, I didn't even get a fruit bar to eat today because we have been stuck in there all day long. And I wanted to call you. I knew I was missing calling you. And I'm sorry I didn't call you, but we're still working. And we're going to be here till 10 o'clock, and it's 10 o'clock my time. I'm just back in my office now. I still have 4 pages to write and this breakdown to take care of.
Right.
And then I could talk to you. Do you want to talk now or tomorrow? Yeah. And I had no choice but to understand. I was not pleasant about it.
Fruit bar. We'd be lucky to have a fruit bar.
And so you started calling me on your lunch break at 1.
Yeah.
In the middle of my lunch break.
Yeah.
And I would take my lunch breaks at 3 because I was in Michigan. Or at 4. I would try to take a break at 4 in the afternoon and talk to you for 20 minutes. And that was all we had.
Yeah. That first year on Lost, ABC was so convinced that we were going to flop that they gave us no craft services at all. No, well, craft services is when you're shooting, but they supplied our room with
catering.
At all. Like, we'd see them wheel, like, huge trays of food over into Alias, because Alias was right next door to us, and they were doing great.
Well, they would feel sorry for you guys and bring baskets over.
Yeah, JJ used to smuggle us sandwiches.
Yeah, it's like,
here,
that.
You know, here.
I'm sorry, guys, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and
one show to the other.
What? Yeah.
Well, they were both his shows, yeah.
And then, you know, 2 years later, of course, then the good
Yeah, they
stuff.
Were tenting your cars and washing them during the day. Yeah. They really were. It was
yeah, they
crazy.
Were.
Wow.
So yeah. Things improved radically, but it's a... but that's a... That was the old days on Lost. That was good old days.
Good?
Yes.
All right. So,
but anyway, so it was a heavy couple of weeks. And so we just needed... So we weren't going to do anything for Easter. We were just sort of like exhausted. What do you want to do? Well, I said I'd go visit my mom. Good. You go and give
her
my regards.
We were both supposed to go. But I didn't go because he was still convalescing.
Because he
and
needed
I didn't want
pain medicine
you know,
every day. Yeah.
Well, he was getting pain medicine. But also, when we go to visit his mom, she welcomes the dogs into her home. But at the same time, they pee on stuff sometimes if they're not in our house. They know not to pee in our house, but when they go somewhere new, they're like, what's that, a plant? I'm going to pee on it. Like, they don't know.
Mm.
And so we got to watch them every second or keep them on leash. And that's stressful for everyone. So we have a great, great dog sitter in Carmel.
Yeah.
So you guys, if you're ever in Carmel and you need a dog sitter, call me and I'll tell you who they are.
Yeah.
But Joe and Lori always watch them. Mm-hmm. But I didn't feel comfortable taking a freshly surgeried, convalescing dog to a dog sitter and dumping him off there.
Especially
because he
had
enough change.
After a 6-hour journey in the car.
Well, right. And also, the dogs had had tons of upheaval. Because there was yard sale people running in and out. There was craziness. Like, Joey's been here. Joey is an organizer who we've been working with. And she's got all of Paul's comics all over the living room floor right now. Ezra can attest to that.
I'm stacked up against it like a little sound booth over here.
Yeah, it looks like you're hiding in a warehouse.
It does. It looks like you're hiding from me. Like, I'm going to come at you like a spider monkey. How many are there? 30?
25?
19.
Yeah, 19, yeah.
19. And they're all for sale. So if somebody wants them, you know, $40 takes them away.
Yeah, you say that.
Well, no. I actually
You don't even know what's in them.
I'm actually talking to a guy who's going to sell them, so.
You know what? You say that, and yet here they sit.
Well, I'm waiting for Paul's back.
I'm going to sell
them. It's a difficult week. People are coming back
from
WonderCon.
Oh, WonderCon. You went.
WonderCon.
How was WonderCon?
It was really nice, yeah. A little busier than last year, but same sort of vibe. You know, really easy to talk to people, really easy to do stuff.
Good.
I didn't really see Marvel around, but DC had a small presence. A lot more gaming stuff this year.
Mm-hmm.
That was surprising.
Gaming from the gamers or from the comic
games?
Video gamers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You mean like the gaming companies like Insomnia and...
Like Nintendo,
my BioShock
like
Infinite's
Nintendo,
out.
And yeah, BioShock Infinite.
You know
stuff.
I'm on that.
Yeah, I know. I can't wait. I know a
that
bunch of people
fun.
Who went out and bought it first day. I'm very anxious.
Yeah.
I'm trying to hold back because $60 is a big pop.
I wish they sent them to us. If they sent me a comp copy. Oh, speaking of comp copies, John Chadwick, we promised a PS3 version of Arkham Asylum, and I don't know where that stuff is.
Oh, I don't know. Oh, well, I'll
leave this
through.
In so that he can hear right. that we're talking about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I'll
John,
find
we
it.
Love you, and we're looking for it. We just can't find it. We've been up in the loft, and we've been everywhere, and I don't know where it would be.
I don't know.
Maybe we don't have one.
I don't know if we do or not. Because
he sent me a really nice, he's totally not pushy, he's a super nice guy, and he was just like, I don't mean to bug, but, because we had promised it to him in January.
Okay.
Poor guy's still waiting. So if you can find it, great, and if not, then let me know and we'll send him one as a prize.
Okay.
Speaking of prizes, I want to ask you more about WonderCon, but guys, we have prizes this week.
Oh yeah.
Prizes.
Yeah, prizes, prizes.
Prizes,
should
prizes.
We do one this week and one next week, or should we do them both right now?
Let's do one next week and one this week.
You played each. Wow, is it better to get them as a set, maybe?
Which are, it's just two CDs?
Uh-huh. Soundtracks.
Yeah, maybe as a set, because, you know, one person would be a WoW fan, maybe the next person isn't.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. So we haven't given away a prize in a long time, so we're going to give away prizes today.
What are the prizes?
We have two World of Warcraft soundtracks, which are out of the shrink wrap, because I pulled them out of the shrink bag. No, shrink wrap. Shrink blah, blah. I don't know what that is, but that was not on these CDs. There is none of that on these. So we've got two. We have the soundtrack to Fall of the Lich King and World of Warcraft Cataclysm. So we're going to give those away to a person who... Is it the first person who clicks like on the podcast?
Oh, I don't know how we can monitor that.
Yeah, I don't know how we can.
I have those already.
I think we
those.
Have to just do a drawing again.
Oh, that's how
likes.
We did it.
Yeah.
I couldn't remember how we did it. It's been that long.
Yeah. Yeah, so like
Horrible.
This podcast on our Facebook.
And we'll take
all
the likes. We'll do the video.
The mm-hmm.
Yeah, I liked it. You did the video, didn't you? Who did
no,
it?
No. Paul shot it with his phone, I believe, or something.
Oh, something like that.
It was you and somebody else.
And Oh, shoot.
It wasn't Eddie.
It was Alan.
No. It was Alan or was it Tony or...
Maybe it was Tony.
I don't know. I don't remember.
It was somebody. Yeah. Anyway, it was someone fun. Yeah. Bill Morrison? It wasn't Javi, was it?
No.
Was it Bill? We had Javi
Maybe
on?
Bill. It was Bill.
Bill Morrison?
Bill Morrison.
Yeah. I love Bill.
Yeah.
Friggin' Bill. Bill and I have in common the horror... Oh.
Wow, excuse me.
Speaking of the horror, Muggsy makes his contribution. Oh, and another. Cut
just
that out.
Just a small bee.
Dude, please...
You were the one who went to Three Dog Bakery and then shoved food down his throat.
Should we cut that out? That's really gross. No. Or should we just leave it in?
People have heard it before.
Disgusting. So that's what
Speaking
we're known
about
for.
Dog treats that you've been feeding them. I was surprised to see dog treats at WonderCon.
Dog treats at WonderCon?
Yeah, somebody had a table of dog treats next to them. I don't know if they were like their side business or what.
Okay.
Wait a minute, but they're not allowed to take pets into WonderCon, are you?
No.
So you're just... Wait a minute. So people are eating dog treats? Like Scooby snacks?
Because they're like specialty dog treats. Like chocolate chip cookie dog treats or whatever. You know,
Carob cookie.
I mean, they... All right. There's a little... You love this. There's
I like that face you made. What?
There's a,
Did
well,
you
that,
see it? Yeah. It was really funny. What?
That's my new thing.
It's good.
I'm going to be annoying. I'm going to be annoying guy who goes
around... You know
what?
I would like you to set everything. Your goals and aspirations in a different direction. What?
No, I want
because
to...
that's my thing. I'm gonna be the annoying guy that goes what?
I'm gonna be the awesome guy who goes what?
Yeah, changing the adjective.
I love
does
that.
Not
I love
help.
That. Like, okay, I love the no. guy who's in the room. Who's in the room, and he hears everything going on, and it's and yet he keeps saying what because he can't.
I don't love
he can't
that guy
process
at all.
It. No, neither do I.
I do it. Not want to be married to him.
It's like, do you want a Coke annoying interested. Guy? What? And like with this sort of like. He's mystified and yet he's haughty at the same time. It's like, what? You know, he can't process anything. And you have to go back by him saying what that forces you to go back and repeat yourself and explain things just for him, even though he already understands it. I really hate that.
It's okay. Like, well then don't be him.
Okay.
You said that was your goal was to be that guy.
I was kidding.
Oh, thank God.
My goal is actually to hit that guy with a hammer.
Okay.
It's like,
April
I'm going to, no April Fool. Rashi and I
hey,
are working.
Hey Dad, come here. In that direction, and I won't hit you with nothing.
I'm not a firecracker.
Didn't hit you. The firecracker did.
I know. Okay. Well, we got enough annoying people around here without the what guy.
What?
Yeah, there you go. It's like you go to a party and you offer him something. It's like,
what?
Here, I made crab cakes. Crab cakes. What? It's like he's kind of disdainful and yet. Everything
what?
Has to be explained to him.
What?
Yeah.
What?
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 I don't know what.
I don't either, but I hope it all stops.
Okay. Anyway.
What were we talking about? Oh, WonderCon. WonderCon. Did you go to Dr. Drea, a girlfriend of mine? She's not a really close friend. She's a new friend, and I love her.
Who?
And I love Brian Ward, both of whom came to our yard sale. Oh, I had a yard sale breakdown.
Oh.
I'll tell you about the yard sale breakdown after I ask you this question so that I kind of stay linear. Dr. Drea is a psychologist, and that's not her last name. It's her first name. Her last name, I don't know. But she's Arkham Asylum Doc on Twitter.
Okay.
And she did a panel on the difference of psychology between Star Wars and Star Trek. Did you go to that?
No.
It was standing room only.
Really?
And she's doing it at the big Comic-Con, and it was a huge
wow.
hit. And she got together a bunch of sexy psychologists that are all geek chic. And she put this panel of really pretty, knowledgeable, super intelligent, and legitimate geeks, not just chicks that wear the t-shirts because they know
Very
that it's
cool.
trendy.
Yeah.
And they got together and they talked about the nitty gritty. I didn't see it, but they talked about the nitty gritty.
Is it online?
I don't know. I think so. Yeah. I think they had posted things. So I'm gonna tweet to it and take a look at it. Mm. But they came to the yard sale because they knew that we were selling collectibles and cells and stuff.
Yeah.
And she walked in and went, oh my God, because we have a cell of Harley Quinn holding up a certificate that says sane.
Oh, you got rid of that one.
And it's signed Kay Altieri, who's Kevin Altieri, who's our friend who directed the episode. Mm-hmm. That's the signing doctor. And they brought it up to pay for it. And I was actually taking Square Register debit cards at our yard sale because
nice.
We were selling big ticket items,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Good call.
And so it was the best call ever.
Yeah,
we made like
$1,300
to $1,500 on just that thing alone.
Yeah.
So, they walk up with it, and I started to cry. like an idiot. And I had to walk away. And Ruth went over and took it away from them and said, it's not for sale. Misty's crying. And they were like, we understand, we understand. I was such a fool. The whole thing was to get rid of stuff, but that one, for whatever reason, is my favorite.
Yeah.
Oh, you liked it too.
Yeah, it's memorable.
It's super iconic.
We still have it. We still have it.
It's super iconic.
It used to be hanging in the hallway.
Yeah, yeah, it was. And it was like, I always thought that it was the crown jewel of the Harley collection.
Yeah.
Until I saw the one you've got of her in her underpants crawling up a bed with a surprise look on her face.
Oh, that scene that had to be reshot.
What?
I think I like the sane one, though. That's,
yeah, but Arlene Sorkin wrote on the underwear one. She goes, what's your name again? She wrote on there. It's really cute. But this sane one, like, they brought it up. And Brian brought it up to me, and he was like, you don't understand. She's a psychologist. This is perfect for her. And I said, I guess if it's any consolation, I'll never sell it to anybody else. But I cannot let it go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he was like, what? Why? God. Just sell it. You know, because they were going to pay a lot of money.
Well, now that you know, cooler heads have prevailed, I'm glad we still have it.
You don't care.
Yes, I do.
You weren't attached to that one like I was.
Well, okay.
You let your Ra's al Ghul cell go for really cheap. That guy got a deal.
Some people get great deals. Some other people.
We had so many people here. Uh-huh. On the Sunday morning, we had announced that we were going to let most of the collectibles out at 8 in the morning. Mm-hmm. And at 7:45, there were 45 people in my driveway. I am not joking.
Wow.
There were 45 people waiting for my yard sale to open. Wow. It was awesome.
Well, Saturday was like...
Sorry about the mic.
Saturday was the day of agony. I mean, that everybody showed up then. And I'm driving him back from...
Oh, that was Sunday morning. They were all here. That's right.
Yeah. Saturday was the big day.
That you
handled alone.
Great day. And then, I did handle it alone. But you handled him alone. So
yeah,
we had full schedules. But I was grateful to have you. You know, I mean, it's interesting because you think about people who are single and working and own dogs, you know, or are single and working, have lives, you know, and you go, God, how do you handle all that stuff yourself? Because we're a pretty good team. Like, you know, I came home today and you were telling me all the stuff you did today. You said, I handled this, I handled that, I got that out of the foyer, I got halfway done with this, but then I had to stop because of blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Oh, we should have taken those to the Framer last night.
Oh, yeah, we'll get
to
that.
I forgot. Well, we spent enough there. But but I'm so grateful, you know, that there's someone around that can pick up a little bit, because I get so overwhelmed. Like this morning I told him, I said, I'm like a wound that ain't scabbed over, and every single little speck of salt I go, wah! Because I just, my tolerance is like none.
During the week I can't have the real world intruding.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't want to deal with phone calls. I don't want to deal with people who want them something. I don't want to deal with the, oh, Mr. Dini, your service contract on your washing machine is over. Would you like
Sears
to re-up today?
They kept calling. They do. They called us on the hour, like every 2 hours. And I thought, my God, we don't have a bill with them. What is going on?
Yeah.
Like, we don't have bill collectors calling the house. What the hell is this? And, oh, in the middle of it, you got your identity stolen. We forgot to mention that. So
that was great.
Bravo! Yeah, that was fabulous.
So lots of calls to the bank and
sorting
places
out credit cards and canceling things and getting credit reports and making sure everything's okay. Everything's fine.
Ay, caramba. And then there's also show business dealings with contracts and lawyers.
Oh,
and
absolutely. Oh, you had that big trademark meeting.
And
I'm pitching shows all over town to all these production companies and the channels. I mean, it's really awesome. And like I said, total first world entertainment problems. But as far as Sears went, they kept calling and calling. I go, what the hell is going on? They wanted us to re-up the warranty on our dishwasher. And they called that aggressively. And I thought, oh, honey, you work on
that thing has never worked to begin with.
No, well, because I sat on it on accident. It was one Christmas Eve and I was talking to Renee and Marlene. And I was walking backwards and ended up falling onto the dishwasher door. So it kind of pulled it away from the... We had it replaced.
Is that really the story?
You didn't know that happened?
I thought it was Rashi was selling submarine rides.
No, I sat on it.
He had a sign up there that said, see the secrets of the ocean. And he was trying to do like the Disney submarine ride.
That's right.
Me and Super Rica were pushing in small neighborhood children and their pets. You know, buckle down. We're ready for an adventure in liquid space. However he talks. And then he was doing like the submarine ride. And then he was shaking it and doing depth charts.
Man, I made like 16 nickels in a day.
Nickels, great. You know how much it costs us to repair that thing?
Hey, I ain't got no overhead. You pay
$1,700.
Yeah.
You could have bought 3 washing machines for that money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I got these nickels.
Yeah, nice shiny nickels. Yeah. Wash them in the dishwasher.
Yeah. Come on, Nichols, I'll show you the ocean.
You know, the warranty does not cover damage by sock monkey.
Yeah, well, too bad. I guess you're going to buy a new one.
I paid just to get off the phone with them.
That is insane.
Just to
and
get
you
off
got the... 2 years worth.
Yeah, that's not going to last another
so
fortnight.
So 2 years, expect some more harassing phone calls.
Horrible. Well, we actually had this conversation. I was like, dude, this dishwasher's 5 years old. Can we just tell them to go up themselves and get a new effing dishwasher? And he was like, there are things that we need more. And I was like, oh, I suppose it's true. Like a new car, which I'm getting. Everyone.
Next time anybody calls wanting anything, I'm just
not
answering
months,
the phone.
But from now, but I will get one, damn it. Because the Jeep is breaking down. It's in the shop more than it's in. Oh, because the Jeep
My starter just died last week on my car.
Isn't that super? But it's in the middle of that week I described, the Jeep broke down and I had to get a rental car.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that super?
Yeah.
It was just the best. It was so good. It was so good. And it hasn't slowed down yet. It's been bam, 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 still. And I told him, I said, I guess we just have to get to the point where we're used to this. And the nice thing is, and it's interesting, and I think that this is kind of an interesting allegory for kind of just life in general. Because there's that old adage, you know, like, make room, when you let something go, you make room for the right things. Mm-hmm. And every room that Joey's organized, it has been, that room in our lives has been taken up, that time that we would spend digging for a shoe in the closet, you know, and so now we can just reach in and grab them because it's so organized. That time is eaten up with work stuff, which is totally our priorities right now. Mm-hmm. And it's really a nice position to be in. You know, I mean, like I ran today, I worked today, I got to work again on Friday. I am very lucky.
I get greedy about work time. Like I crave it because every time the phone rings or every time there's a distraction, that's time I can't work on a script or a story.
Well, and the other thing is you do what you love. You know, like, you get so emotionally involved in your stories. I was telling Scott Adsit, we haven't mentioned Scott Adsit in a podcast. We saw him. We should have had him on here.
We went out to dinner with him the other night.
He was just here in town. Jeez. We should, right?
We're going to see him in New York maybe next month.
We'll fly Ezra out and have
him
do a podcast.
There you go.
That'll make good fiscal sense.
We're actually supposed to go see him in New York next month.
So. Yes, we are. So we'll talk about him again.
Anyway.
That was a great noise. You know what we could do is we could call Scott and put him on the podcast on his phone. I don't think we'd have his attention, though. But anyway. Yeah.
I'm changing our answering machine message so that people bother.
Oh, I'm leaving that sign on the door.
Oh, okay.
I was telling Ezra, we have not had a single door solicitor.
No, we haven't.
See? Because they look at that and they go, yeah, I'm not dealing with that.
Yeah.
It's almost like, oh, the doorbell's broke. And then they get up there and it says, do not knock or ring bell.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the
call
sign.
Call this number.
Right. And they're not
so
going to call.
Like, I'm not going to call that. That's, you know, 5 cents out of my pocket.
Exactly. And so they leave us alone. And we get solicitors at the door all day long. But because Muggsy was sick and he was not allowed to jump off the bed, and that's something they always do when the doorbell rings, they freak out and they jump and they fly across the house. I put this sign on the door that said, please do not knock or ring bell, call our phone number for entry. And it's got our phone number on there. So if you know where we live, you can also have our phone number.
I'm changing our phone number to the Happy Dragon Palace takeout restaurant. So,
okay.
You know, and the message is going to be, Gung Hei Fat Choi, welcome to Happy Dragon Palace. We have several people ordering in front of you, and so please stay on the line, and we will take your order.
And then can you please play country western music after that?
Yes, this
that
is
super.
Yes, this is Enrique Wong, your takeout person. So just
well, you're really getting into this.
Well, I had it all worked out.
I guess so. This is an elaborate ruse.
Yeah, like
it's
people.
It's the Rube Goldberg device.
I'm calling the Deanies to see if they want to re-up their warranty and also maybe get some almond chicken.
Chicken? I love when things that shouldn't have a question mark have question marks.
Yeah.
So you look tired. Are you done?
No, I'm anxious to hear a little bit more about WonderCon.
Oh, yes, we were there.
Were there, was it a display of cosplayers, as always?
Oh, there was plenty of cosplayers. I saw old man Booster Gold. I think he went through time travel a little too much.
Wow.
Was it like someone's grandfather is dressed up as Booster Gold?
It looked like somebody who's like past 40, just dressed up as Booster Gold and like really wrinkly and weathered, like he's been in the sun all day.
Maybe Stan Lee fell asleep in the tanning machine again.
Maybe.
Okay.
There's
again,
a number
again.
Of signings for Stan Lee I saw. And usually it was like, behind this curtain, $20 to take your picture with Stan Lee. I'm like, is it really him? Or
it was Kevin McShane.
Yeah,
it's Kevin McShane dressed up like big Stan Lee.
Stan Lee experience. There you go.
Kevin McShane also was here.
so many people asked me, like, at publishing houses and in the business, and like, it was just sort of like, well, we'll settle up next week when we see you at WonderCon. You know, it's like, what? I'm not going to WonderCon. And it's like, what? You're not going to WonderCon? It's like, what? You don't plan on breathing today? It's like, no, I've had a rotten month. I'm going to my mom's house in Carmel to sleep. Yeah, and I did. I jumped on the plane. And
I'm glad you flew. You like flying, don't you?
I do like, well, sometimes I do. I like driving, but it's a long trip. But the planes are tiny, tiny.
Oh,
so,
yeah, they're puddle jumpers. Yeah,
but I got up there. The airport there is nice. And then Mom picked me up, and the first thing we did was go off to this huge Mexican supermarket.
Horrible. How can you stand it?
And really? I got spices because I was going to cook that weekend. And then we sat there in their little food area.
Did you cook?
Yeah.
What did you cook?
Tacos.
Oh, that's right. You told me that.
I found this recipe Mark Miller, who's a chef. He created the Coyote Cafe.
Mark Millar.
Mark Millar, who's created Kick-Ass. Yeah. You know?
Is it Kick-Ass or Badass?
Kick-Ass. Yeah. Kick-Ass.
I don't know anything. There's a 2. Kick-Ass 2.
Yeah, Kick-Ass 2 is coming out. Right. And Mark Millar is a damn fine comic book writer, so he's created a lot of cool stuff. So, yes. So, anyway... but Mark Miller created the Coyote Cafe in Santa Fe. And someone... I think it was my dad a couple of years ago. Somebody gave me a book of taco recipes.
I think it was me.
Was that you?
I'm pretty sure it was
okay.
me. Okay. But you can give credit to someone else because I'm not, I'm pretty sure, but I'm not completely positive and I don't want
to
get
it. I think it was you who gave it to me one year for Christmas.
I would totally give you a book about taco recipes for Christmas.
Yeah. And it's all these different
but
types
I'm not,
of...
I'm not positive. I give you a lot of shit for Christmas.
Okay. All right. But this was really great. I was looking through the pictures and they all have, you know, nicely done and... And there was this recipe for, you know, basic beef tacos that just needed a little more effort to them. And like you take the dried chilies and you rehydrate them and you chop them up with the tomatoes and everything. So we went and shopped for everything. And I said, we'll have this for lunch. And then I got to her house and I passed out. I passed out cold. I went into...
Well, you had only had, like, in your defense for passing out cold, 2.5 hours sleep.
2.5 hours sleep before I took the early flight up to Monterey.
He was like, he asked me the night before. He says, my flight's at 7. Do you want to drive me to the airport? And I said, which airport? He says, LAX. I said, nope. And so he called a car to pick him up. I was like, nope.
Yeah, have fun with the limo driver.
Nope.
So she picked me up at 9:15. 9:30, we went to the shop and had a little breakfast. 10, I'm back in her place. And I collapsed. And I slept till 3:30 that afternoon. While she was there, her housekeeper came and cleaned the entire house. And apparently she cleaned the bedroom and I was just sitting there with like, you know, cartoon crisscross eyes.
Ouch,
just
a lunch.
With a sawing log over my head.
You know, when I was a little girl, I saw a cartoon where they opened, I don't remember who it was. You could probably tell me. I want to say it was Tweety Bird opened Sylvester's eye and it said out to lunch. There was like a sign in his eye.
Yeah, they all did that. Yeah.
And so I actually saw that on Saturday morning cartoons and decided to see if that happened. I went into my mother's room and opened my mother's eye.
Yeah.
It did not end well. No. It did not work out for me.
There were the words, Misty's gonna get it.
Yeah. There was no sign.
No.
There was
just
no,
run.
It was just noise and slapping.
So, yeah.
So we didn't finish asking Ezra, but you had a nice trip to Carmel, and I'm glad for it.
But there were a lot of cool cosplayers. It's becoming more and more WonderCon. Of a festival, like a masquerade party without alcohol. You know, people just
there's alcohol.
Well, there's alcohol.
They find alcohol.
That's afterwards, though. Usually.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, and of course, like you always, it's easy to talk to some of the creators. Not as many creators there this year as usually. I love the R2-D2 Builder Society was there.
Oh.
And they had tons of R2-D2s and a couple Wall-Es.
Oh.
Now, are these R2-D2s for sale?
No, you know what I wish they'd make? And drive them around with the remotes and show them off.
You know what I wish they'd make? It's a number 5.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
Circuit. Oh.
That's what I would want.
A couple of years ago.
Who's Johnny?
A couple of years ago, I was at a convention at the LA Convention Center. As I got off the elevator, R2-D2 was right there. And because I wrote so many Star Wars episodes with R2 in it, I was just sort of like, hi, R2. And he just sort of beeped at me, and I went on my way. I love, you know, when fantasy kind of, you know, impinges on the real world. And...
Well, you speak fluent Ewokese also.
Yeah. Yub, yub.
He does.
Yeah.
Nice. He's like, didn't you help create it or something?
Well, Joe Johnston came up with the language, but I added little bits of words here and there. But Joe, would make it, created a lot of that stuff. So did Ben Burt.
Ben Burt made up a lot of the
sound effects.
Ben. Well, I think they should make a number 5 in the R2-D2
system. They really should. Because, the Wall-Es were really good. They had the eyebrows and everything moved. It was really cool.
Mm-hmm. How big were they?
They came up to about my waist.
Okay. Oh, big Wall-Es.
Yeah, really big. Oh, yeah.
Dude.
Yeah, as big as the R2s.
Do you know what? This is a cute story, and it's pretty brief. Tina Lee, Miss Dina. Have you ever met Miss Dina? She's a little tiny English female magician.
No.
Really good. Yeah. She's great. And she's been through, talk about a trooper who's been through the trenches. That woman, she has been through the Vietnam of magic. I swear to God. She has seen some shit and lived through it. It is nuts. Was doing a show at a hospital. And a woman who fancied herself, who once was a prominent female magician, but no longer can really fit into the boxes, decided she was still capable and able. And it turns out she was. But because she was not a traditionally sized, if you will, magician's assistant, when she went into the box, one of the little kids at the hospital show yelled out and was so engaged, "Where'd she go? Where'd she go? She's so big! She can't fit in there! She's so big!" And he kept yelling, "She's so big! She's so big!" Much to the dismay.
And from thin air come the words, "Shut up, kid."
She's so big.
She's so big.
So Wall-E, so big. That's why I was saying it like that. She's so big. So that's we have awesome. Some questions.
Questions from the fans.
So we're going to have to keep our answers brief and succinct.
Okay.
Because this podcast is long.
Are we over an hour now?
Easy. We're at 40 minutes.
40 minutes.
It's not. It just feels like forever.
Okay.
That's not a good sign.
Yeah, no. Sorry, guys. Okay. Twitter member, The Reasons I'm Broke.
Okay.
Says, I know you aren't involved with the current DC animated movies, but any thoughts on Bruce Timm stepping down as producer?
Yeah, that just happened.
Yeah, that did.
At WonderCon, it was a big hullabaloo.
Yeah, and I didn't know anything about this. And what happened was, Alan Burnett actually emailed me when I was getting some messages at my mom's house, and he was going on and on about it. I go, what are you talking about? This is the first I've heard of it. And because I apparently, Ain't It Cool News got a hold of it and said, Bruce Timm leaves Warner Brothers forever. And yeah. there was some wild rumor about him. I didn't see what it was, but Alan kind of relayed it to me. And I'm going like, they said what? And but apparently, as I know, and I have not spoken to Bruce or anybody about this, I'm having lunch with Alan later this week, so he'll probably tell me more. But as I understand it, and I had heard like little bits of this were coming, but it didn't seem to be that big a deal, that Bruce was spending some time developing some of his own projects and leaving the DC universe for the moment. He's, as far as I know, and I think this has been fairly corroborated, he's not leaving Warner Brothers on a day-to-day basis. He's just moving off off the DVDs for the last.
Yeah, he's stepping down as the showrunner.
Yes,
say, for those
for the last 8 or 9 years, he's been working on Justice League and a bunch of other things and sort of overseeing everything. So now I think he's just going to concentrate on his own projects.
From what I understand, he was really sad about Green Lantern being canceled too. He really liked that show, the Green Lantern.
That was a good show.
That was a good show. I didn't know anything about it. I mean, I haven't really spoken to Bruce. Yeah, I'm over at Warner's occasionally finishing a project.
He got a good hearty laugh over the bad publicity.
Oh, he did. Yeah.
From what I understand, really belly laughed over people implying that he was let
go. Oh, that's right. Mariano, I guess, got angry at Ain't It Cool News.
Oh, wow.
Then told Bruce, and Bruce had a pretty good laugh about that. That's
so in that vein, someone else, Ian Motter, Motter Man at Twitter, asked, are you going to collaborate with Bruce on the JLA movie?
No.
There's that.
I mean, the JLA movie, from what I understand, is live action. I don't know if they're going to do an animated one or what.
Does that mean Alan Burnett's the big cheese now with all these movies?
James Tucker is.
Oh, okay.
James has taken over as far as I know. And I only know what I've read online and what people have told me. So I'm not speaking out of turn here. But from what I've heard, and I did see the press release with James, and it had a photo of him with Batman and everything. So, no, I don't have any plans to collaborate with Bruce on anything anytime soon.
Well, I want to thank TBTP and Jeremy Rowan for the retweets and also Stingray. But Stingray also has a question here for you.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts on the two actresses who played Harley Quinn on the live-action Birds of Prey?
God, who were they?
Oh, wow.
One of them was Simone or Sloane from Ferris Bueller. I know that.
Yeah, was that Mia Sara?
Yeah.
And there was two of them on Birds of Prey?
Yeah, I don't know. Did they do two Birds of Prey?
Well, I heard they shot the pilot with one actress and then went back and shot with Mia Sara.
Okay.
So, and I'm forgetting who the first person was.
But you thought they were fine, right?
They're fine, yeah.
Okay, well, next. Let's see. There was another one here that I missed. Oh, Sergio Giuliano, Neo-Serg, NEOSERGG.
Okay.
Any news on Arkham 3? Are you writing it?
I don't know what's up with Arkham 3. So I know that...
You know that it's happening, but...
I know that it's happening and that Warner's is doing a lot more games, but I don't know what's going on with any of them.
Okay. Michael Haddock, Havoc, asks, have you talked about your run on Detective SOGGCS at length? Been revisiting that work lately, and it's simply fantastic.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
I'm going to move on.
No, I haven't been talking about it because no one's been asking. I mean, if somebody had a specific question, I'd talk about it, but I... You know, they were fun stories to write, and,
So there you go, Mr. Stuff. Haddock. If you write in questions, he will answer them specifically.
Yep.
But thank you for your kind words, because I thought you did a great job on those books, too.
Thank you. My one regret was that it ended so abruptly. I was kind of in the middle of a story, and I sort of had to, you know...
Yeah, that was weird.
Poochie got sent back to his home planet and died on the way.
What? Poochie?
It's like in The Simpsons.
Oh, yeah.
When they got rid of Poochie, they never even finished the story.
You know, when I think of Poochie, I think of this little white dog with pink hair and ponytails that was popular like in the 80s and was this huge licensed product like in Kmart and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And they had these little art supplies and like little things for girls and it was just like nothing. I don't even know if they ever actually turned it into a cartoon show. If they did,
must have.
Mark Evanier probably wrote it.
Yeah. Could have, yeah.
But I loved her. And I would collect stuff with Poochie on it. And I remember my grandparents had a property up in Yale, Michigan. And we would go up there and Grandma would always stop and get me something to do because she knew I was going to be bored as hell. Because my grandfather would sit there and fish. And whenever he'd get a fish or he'd lose his worm, he'd yell from way down these stairs, Mary! And she would go running down these makeshift stairs that she carved into the side of a hill herself and put little wooden boards in. And she'd go running. And you had to hold on to this string to get up and down to the lake and back up again.
Wow.
And I mean, like you had to pee in a bucket. It sucked. It was just horrible. But he would yell, Mary! And she'd go, she was stripping the land like she was clearing trees. Like she'd be up there chainsawing a tree. And instead of putting his own worm on, he would make my grandmother run all the way down those stairs. And my little grandma was a firebrand. She was awesome. She'd put his worm on, go back up, tie a chain around her waist, and drag a tree, haul a tree from one side of the property to the other. Right, see? And I complain about doing your laundry. Yeah.
And Poochie.
Oh, how does Poochie play into this? I would sit and color in my Poochie book instead of putting worms on grandma's hook.
So your grandma's off skinning a grizzly, and you're... And your grandpa needs his worm baited, and
you're busy pooching.
You're pooching.
Because grandma was the mat. I'm not going to do that. Okay. All right. So I was going to say something about her baiting the hook.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Not my grandma. We're going to leave her alone.
What? Next?
What?
Next? Ollie. What?
Ollie, OJ Queen, asks, curious to hear your thoughts on the Man of Steel and the future of DC's live action movies.
I'm with everybody else. I don't know. You know, sure. I mean, I've heard the rumors. Yeah, Guillermo del Toro is supposed to be making a Justice League Dark movie with Constantine and Zatanna and Deadman and Madame Xanadu and all those guys. It sounds interesting, but I don't know anything about it. I'll see it when I see it. Man of Steel, I'll see it when I see it. You know, I'll be in line with everybody else. So I don't have any thoughts about it because I don't know anything about it. And
all right.
Didn't work on it.
Pablo Petrick says, La industria del videojuego cesaba su tumba primero. Paldini fuera de Arkham y Horror.
Better run that by Super Ica. Super Ica, did you hear any of that?
Si.
What do you have a response for that?
Gracias.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right. We've got David Hayter.
Okay.
Fuera. Oh, he's talking to you guys. That's the Mr. Petrick's thing. Jeremy Roman favorited your tweet. Thank you, Jeremy.
Okay.
Donovan Jones, really miss Madame Mirage. Any plans for her in the future?
Oh, yes.
Oh, you have no idea, Donovan.
You have no idea, but I can't say.
Let's move on.
Okay.
Damien. So, yes, good news, but not...
Very good news.
Forthcoming, yes. But not soon. Damien, which is... He's you, madman. When are you two coming back to Atlanta?
When do you want to go back to Atlanta? Oh, you want to go... I guess
I want to go see C. Martin Croker. I haven't seen Clay in forever.
Well, is that your way of saying you want to go to Dragon Con?
Nope. I just said I want to see Clay.
All right.
So, okay. You know what? We got uninvited from Dragon Con.
Yeah.
We should just say that. Because we've had a couple people ask us, are you coming to Dragon Con? And we were slated to go, but we hadn't turned in our engagement letters like right away. Mm. And it was coming. And we hadn't received any travel arrangements. And they usually kind of got on you.
Yeah.
And I sent them a note and I said, are we still on the schedule? And they were like, yeah, no. And they were really not nice. And then they didn't invite us back the year after, and it's been like 2 or 3 years. So it was just really odd. They had switched hands, and apparently whoever's running it now doesn't think we're very important. So there you go. If you want us at Dragon Con, talk to people, but otherwise, all right.
Well, hey, I'll go to the varsity. Let's go to the varsity and have our own.
We went to the varsity with Tom Kenny and his nephew. Remember that was fun?
Yeah, yeah. That was great.
We had a great time, you know, but they were kind of weird. Mm. And I did magic there 1 year. It was bizarre. But when it switched hands, the new person, I guess, just didn't either know us or like us. Okay, Cujo Rules D-Town 9, Robert says, what are you and Misty's favorite things to do in your downtime?
Downtime.
Right? Downtime. I think we went on like that, like... What did you do this weekend? You slept on the bed with the dog?
No, I watched Storage Wars marathons, ate frozen pizzas, and drank Coca-Cola all weekend long. Yeah. So that's what I do. I eat frozen pizza, drink Coca-Cola, and watch the Storage Wars.
Well, I went to my mom's house.
In bed.
Slept 20 hours, then made tacos. So that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. Oh, and then I went to the spa and I went over there.
Oh, you bastard.
I went, I did the spa. I did the whole. I did the whole.
And I'm the one who was moving furniture. Up yours, my friend. Up yours.
I did an afternoon spa. I forgot to tell you that.
Yeah, okay. Refuge. You went to Refuge,
didn't you? I did go to Refuge.
I hope you choke on your dinner.
No, I didn't. All right. I just lolled
really
around
don't
in the steam
water.
I
choke on your dinner. I don't want to try to give you CPR.
Yeah.
So, DJ.
What?
What? What? So DJ Cantel, oh no, DC, DJ, what's wrong with me? DC Cantel, or Cantel, says, the podcast link on your site doesn't appear to work for me. Can you be found on Stitcher?
Oh, well, is that right?
I don't know what Stitcher is, but we'll look into it.
I believe that we are through Stitcher, but it's been a long time since I checked into that, so I'll double check.
There you go. That's customer service.
I don't know any
of it. Bam, there you go, DC. Apologies to Misty Lee if that's a lame-o, boring-ass, stupid question. Comes from John Chadwick, but I don't see the lame-o, boring-ass.
Maybe it's down
backwards.
It's down a ways, yeah.
Okay, let me look back.
Those questions tend to go most recent down.
They backward. All right. Oh, here it is. John Chadwick, been reading your detective run. Just want to hear Mr. Z's name said out loud. In my brain, I tend to just go with Z.
When people are talking to him or speaking about him, it's Mr. Z, but it's actually zzz, like the snoring sound, because it is onomatopoetic.
That's what he said. Yeah. Or do you just go with the onomatopoetic sound? Hi, Emily's here, guys.
Well,
look
your hat.
Looking all sexy and beautiful. Her first day extra work ever. Get it, girl, in the background of important shit. Look at her working, a working actor.
I really like those characters I created for Streets of Gotham, Little Italy and Mr. Z. I just thought a little runty Italian guy, not quite a little person, just small. You know, he wasn't supposed to be a little, you know, an actual little person. He was just a small little Italian guy. That was his name, Little Italy, and Mr. Z. And I love the idea of this big somnambulist guy, like, and yet if you tried to get the drop on him, it'd be like. And a gun would be in your face.
It's
and be
hilarious.
Like, to me, that harkened back to a more innocent time of Batman. You know, maybe a crappier time of Batman, but a time of Batman that I love. Like Batman had there was a supporting character in Batman for maybe just one issue named Ali Babel.
And terrible.
He was just a loudmouth who just talked all the time. In the end of his adventure, Batman just kicks him out the door. You just see his boot just kicking this guy.
You did that with the Carpenter.
Yeah. Every once in a while, I just create a character simply because they add a bit of color or comedy to the world, and I like the idea that this big somnambulist guy, you know, Little Italy, who talks all the time and is, you know, kind of a Joe Pesci type, and rattling on, and then Mr. Z, And, you know,
who's was drawn after.
What?
Whose picture did you send for them?
Eddie Gordesi. I said he's a big guy. You know, looks like this. And so he was based, you know, a little bit on our very good friend.
Not totally on Eddie, but Paul said.
Eddie Gordesi.
Yeah, if you could make him look like this guy. And they didn't make him look a lot like Eddie.
No, but, you know.
But he's pretty, I do remember.
Mr. Z's a pretty stylish dresser.
Oh, well, that's because Eddie is a snappy dresser. Yeah. And you always said that if you saw his tooth, he'd have a diamond in it, just
yeah,
like Eddie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he never smiles. But that you did send it. You forgot you did that, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
I remembered.
But I like, you know, I like coloring Batman's world with, there are so many psychos and so many murderers and so many sunshine. Harder characters. I just like the idea sunshine. That there's a little, you know, like there should be a little Damon Runyon in his world as well.
Yeah.
And what I like those guys is like, I really like creating other identities for Bruce Wayne that were not matches Malone. So I had him be like, at one point, like an amputee guy, I think his name was like Lefty something or other, and I just and he had a hook and for a hand. But what was great was it was actually the grappling hook, and so when the lights went out, he could like grapple away and change costume and come back as Batman. And I liked the fact that in that identity, Lefty knew some of these more colorful crooks, and they were all kind of pals. Except he's not a pal because he's really Batman. He's gonna beat their ass later. But, you know, that's my own little take on Batman's world, shared with probably nobody else. But this gets back to the streets of Streets of Gotham. You know, that's what I liked about it, was occasionally doing characters like that. But, you know, the more norm is like, oh, man, if that villain ain't killing like four people, then I don't want to look at him.
So. Yeah.
Are you looking forward to the Adam West comic book that they're doing with Batman?
Yes and no.
Uncle Batman.
I'm really jealous because I'll tell you, you know, bring up Eddie Gordesi again.
I know.
Eddie and I pitched Batman 66 2 years ago, like
yes,
as a graphic novel, and it was a lot of that in the world. And I still don't know if we could actually go back and pitch it again, but. I don't know. It was we.
But they're kind of doing it.
They're kind of doing
with
it.
Adam, and I mean, Paul pitched this project.
Yeah.
And they said no, we don't really think. And then they put.
But
it
then
out
they
the
worked
West
out the you know.
So it's. I mean, like that's kind of not cool. And that was him and Eddie.
Well,
you know? But it's not exactly.
It's not exactly the same take we had. It could get revived, but for you know, I got.
I got
other stuff to keep me busy.
I gotta imagine, you know, in just the zeitgeist defense, like, I'm sure it's not the first time somebody thought, hey, let's actually put Adam West in these comics.
Oh, nice. Yeah. And nice. You know, I'm gonna be happy to see. I mean, yeah. I think, you know.
Uncle Batman.
Well, wouldn't it be something if this, like, is kind of this weird shot in the butt that comics need, that suddenly people start gravitating more toward the 60s Batman than the Dark Knight, you know? It's like.
Oh, that's interesting.
Well, they will be releasing the DVD around the same time, so.
Did they get the rights to release
that? That's why I heard that everyone is correlating with that.
The TV show?
Yeah, the TV show DVD.
Yeah. Okay.
Man, they got to get those out quick because we've lost so many of the great actors who played those villains. Like, we don't have. It would have been great if they had done it 20 years ago because they would have been Burgess Meredith, Cesar Romero.
Oh, yeah.
Right now, we still have Adam West, Burt Ward, and Meow.
Eartha Kitt.
No.
Julie Newmar.
Julie Newmar.
They're commentaries. Changing in the comic book. They're changing without explanation between Julie Newmar and Eartha Kitt.
Good.
They're just going to.
They should also have John Astin drawn in as the Riddler for an issue.
Oh, yeah. That was great.
Nerds. All right. Nerds. So I'm going to go back to the JLA movie just really quick. DC can't tell again. Do you feel DC Comics, Warner Brothers, through live-action films, can come together to make a successful Justice League adaptation? You want to go back to your "I'll wait and see" comment and now move on?
Well, yeah, but I will say this: you know, for the most part, it's like Warner's and DC has to play catch-up because from knowing what I know of some of the executive level people up there. After, you know, because a lot of people, first off, a lot of fans have been very kind and said to me, you should be doing the DC stuff. You should be doing, you know, some of these movies. And I'll tell you, for 20 years, I've been called in off and on to pitch ideas and come up with ideas and, you know, for various things. I never talk about them because they never amount to anything. Because quite often, it's me going in and trying to educate producers who've never read a comic book who these characters are that they own. And it's kind of a fruitless, it's like a Sunday comic strip maze where you enter in here and you're trying to go around, except every path in leads to a dead end. There is no way out of the maze because you're just trying to explain it to people who just can't fathom it. I had a long meeting with a guy who once said he could not wrap his head around Aquaman and had no idea how to make an Aquaman movie because Aquaman hadn't been on TV before. Nobody had committed to putting Aquaman on TV in live action. Whereas he would greenlit a Man from Atlantis movie because there were copies of that old TV show that I think ran 4 episodes back in the 70s about a guy who lived under the ocean and was looking for his heritage, which was Aquaman and Submariner. That somebody had committed to. He would make that movie, but Aquaman, he couldn't conceive of. And, you know, so you're going in and kind of wrestling with that mindset. And whereas the thing that Marvel has had...
I know, that was what I was just going to say.
The thing that Marvel has always had from step one, he was this guy, Kevin Feige, who I've met here and there across town, who's really brilliant with the Marvel characters. He saw what the whole Marvel universe could be and how to maximize some of the great characters out of that. And he worked with Avi Arad early on when they were putting together the first movies. And another advantage that Marvel had that DC has not is that all of the DC properties are at Warner Brothers. And there are some great people who work at Warner Brothers, and there are some people who just don't get those characters. Yep. Whereas with Marvel, they sold all the characters piecemeal. You know, so Spider-Man went to Sony, X-Men went to Fox, the other characters went here and there, and yet they all had a chance to find different executives who had different levels of understanding or enthusiasm for the characters and who all wanted to make Marvel movies. And with Kevin Feige, he took characters like the Hulk and the Avengers and he had a big game plan, you know, on Iron Man, how they all worked and how they all came together. And I think that maybe not everything has come to fruition the way he would have wanted it, but enough has come together so that you really see this whole world that's made up of Iron Man, Thor, Captain America as the individual parts. And then they all come together in a big Avengers movie. Mm-hmm. DC is coming late to the party and trying to figure out how to get that all going. I think a good sign is they do have something like Justice League Dark, which Guillermo del Toro, you know, if he's in charge of that, that's great. He understands horror and he understands fantasy characters.
That's like Ray Fox doing that. Remember Ray?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Ray from Calgary Expo.
Yeah.
I love me some Ray Fox. He is awesome.
And, you know, they've got Christopher Nolan, you know, mm-hmm. is in there with Batman. And I think he's going to, you know, he also did Superman, right? He produced it.
He's producing it.
Yeah. But so if they've got him to write Hurt on it, that's fine. That can kind of get that artistic vision going. But DC is kind of coming late to the banquet late to the party because they were concentrating on other elements, like, okay, we did a Batman movie, now we're going to do a Catwoman movie. And it's like, oh.
Well, they stayed in the Batman.
Yeah.
They played at the Batman sandbox too long. You know, like, they didn't spread it out.
They were trying to play it safe. They knew that
Absolutely.
All those people knew Batman.
Yeah. Yeah. Whereas, you know, with Marvel, they've got so many properties, and they have so many different deals set up at different studios. You could take a character like
Cloak and Dagger.
And just pair, thank you.
I'm nerd.
And just pair and then you know we want to make a deal with this hot young director who loves creepy stuff. What about Cloak and Dagger? Great, take it.
We want to do it on TV. Fine.
Yeah.
You know, and they can do
and
that.
And then you know, is Cloak and Dagger going to have the same budget that the Avengers is? No, but you get the right filmmaker in there. You get the right take. Suddenly, like Blade. Blade's a perfect example.
Blade was fantastic.
Blade's great. You know, you get it in there. Next year, we're going to have Guardians of the Galaxy. Great. Oh,
I can't wait for that.
Well, and you know, that was one of the things, to go back to that question that he asked you. When we left the Avengers movie, the first thing Paul said to me was, that was the best Justice League movie I've ever seen.
Yeah,
exactly.
And I said, ooh. And he was like, that's going to be tough to write a JLA movie now.
Yeah, because, I mean, the thing is, like, you look at it, and I've been sarcastic about this, but no. You take a character like Lex Luthor or the Joker, and you could cast him in the role of Loki. Mm-hmm. And then you could bring in Superman, Batman, and playing different, you know, roles, you know, that are sort of analogous to Captain America or Thor and Iron Man, I guess. And then, you bring in Darkseid as the big bad at the end instead of Thanos. I mean, you know, that was the thing about Joss. Joss knows the players on both sides, the characters, and where the similarities are. And where you can, it's not even really borrowing from one character because they're so close. It's just sort of maximizing what the character already has.
Yep.
And that is where when I the times I've talked to executives at the higher level of Warner Brothers, they are just, it's like I'm talking Sanskrit. You know, yeah. It's like I just don't get it. Like, I can't tell you all the times I brought up Darkseid in a meeting, and they look at me and they go, "That's Star Wars." And I go, "What do you mean?" He goes, "Well, in the Star Wars, it's the dark side of the Force, right? We can't have a character, what, he's called Darkseid? How'd they get away with that?" And I said,
they
"Well,
spell it different."
Well, for one thing, Darkseid existed before Star Wars, and I think that may be where Mr. Lucas kind of was looking, you know, because New Gods was kind of based. New God, there's a little bit of New Gods in Star Wars, you know. I don't know if he did or not, but also, you know, you're thinking purely in movie terms and movies that they know. They don't think outside that. And, you know, in all fairness, to sit down and come late to the game and read, you know, your way through stacks of comics and look for a take is hard. But, you know, in each of these characters, there's something human and compelling and warm and funny about them. You just have to find what that is and craft your movie out of that more than what the other guy is doing.
Yeah.
Okay, we need to move on because I've still got a whole page of questions.
Okay.
All right. Dan Cunningham asks, he says, first of all, I love Gus Ariel as Gordo.
Oh,
did you ever get to meet Gus in person in NorCal?
Yes, I did. Gus Ariel was a wonderful cartoonist who created a syndicated strip called Gordo that ran for many years. It ran just before World War II, and I think he suspended it while he went into the war, and then he picked it up afterwards. And it was a beautifully drawn strip for the time, and Gus himself was Hispanic, and it was he made the strip about a Mexican village called Del Monte in Mexico, and the inhabitants there. And for the time, you could look at it, and the characters came off as sort of modern day. You'd think they were kind of stereotypical because they did talk with, you know, pronounced Spanish accents or Mexican accents. But Gus himself was Mexican, so he was really sort of, you know, he was kind of also drawing what he knew, but also drawing to the you know, what was acceptable humor at the time. As he progressed with the strip, he dropped more in that, and it became more of a comedy strip focused around. Gordo went from being kind of like a lazy bean farmer to a suave man about town and a tour guide. And Gus,
interestingly enough, exact same story as Scott Adsit's autobiography.
What, really?
No.
No.
Just kidding. Go ahead.
And he incorporated a lot of Mexican artwork and style and stylings in the design. It's a very beautifully drawn strip. If you can find it in reprints, I encourage you to seek it out. And it was very funny because he would also do Sunday strips about Gordo's pets, which included a chihuahua and a cat and an owl and a pig.
And he was nice when you met him?
It was wonderful, nice, wonderfully
great,
nice.
Because Dan's got a second question that I have to ask you. It doesn't have anything to do with Gus. He wants to know when Stephanie Gladden will be a podcast guest.
Man, that could have been this week because she was out for WonderCon. But we missed each other.
All right. So not yet.
Not yet, but we would love to get her on here. So, yeah.
All right. Chris W. wants to know, how can I possibly get on a Batman project with you? Well, what do you do, Chris?
Yeah,
that's
me. I'm a garbage man.
Who said that?
Optic 2010, Chris W.
Chris W. I don't know. I don't know who that is.
Get it some could funding. Be somebody. Get some funding and hire him.
But it could be somebody who's already on Batman. So I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't
know it could be.
So if you're currently on Batman over at DC,
call him.
Call me.
And if not, get some money and fund your own project and call him.
Yeah.
There you go.
You know, I'm a Marvel boy these days.
You are a Marvel boy.
Get hard to
break. They treat you nice over there.
Yeah.
It's nice. You enjoy it. Yeah. Okay. Don Wanabi, who's Donsterdamus, says, if Twitter was for homework, teacher says, tweet me your 140-character short story by lunch. Next. That's cute, but we can't answer that here because we'd be counting on fingers and that's pain in the ass.
Yes.
So you'll have to answer that one in writing, maybe. Okay, Stephen Wilde says, thoughts on character death in comics, pros, cons.
I don't know.
Falling
nobody's
on the heels of the Damien death, I guess.
They killed off Damien.
I don't know. No, nobody's dead long enough for me to comment on it. It's sort of like, oh, well, they killed. Oh, no, they're back, aren't they? Okay. Well,
it's like a revolving door.
It's a revolving door at best. I mean, it's, I can understand why they do it, but it lost it seemed to have lost all impact when those characters could be, you know, resurrected and everything. I remember you look back at old comics and you read the books that came out when a character's death was supposed to be permanent, like Gwen Stacy or, you know, some of the others. And you go like, oh, wow, that's a really big deal. And now it's like, eh, they'll be back.
Because they will.
Yeah.
Because they're all licensed properties.
Especially after, I guess, the Bucky Barnes, Jason Todd coming back. Those two were kind of like the, we can't bring back these ever. And then they finally did.
Well, Bucky Barnes, the Winter Soldier, that's the new Captain America movie. Yeah. So, and, you know, he's back, you know. So,
ever since then, it was like, okay, everyone can come back.
Jason Todd, I mean.
Reincarnation.
Yeah.
How many times?
Comics theology.
How many times have I killed off the Joker? You know, he'll be back. Somebody got really upset with me online. You killed off Talia, man. You shouldn't have done that. It's like what? Talia al Ghul with a Lazarus pit. Yeah. Oh, come on.
Well, yeah,
and servants to drag her body over there. Oh, yeah. She just killed her own kid, didn't she? She just killed Damien or had Damien killed?
Or, he was killed off. Yeah. So,
they got Lazarus pits.
Yeah. Not...
Speaking of which, I want to talk to her about that and get in one. Daniel James has a tweet for you and Bruce, whom you were just speaking about. He says, without you guys, my childhood wouldn't have been anywhere near as awesome as it was. So thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Jeremy Rowan has a question for you. It says, Paul Dini, how can you be so awesome? And then he says, seriously, though, just wanted to say as a fellow writer, you're one of my inspirations.
Oh, well, that's very nice.
Would you like to answer his question? I think you should. How can you be so awesome?
It takes lots of practice.
It does. Yeah. And you practice it every day.
I do.
You are on top of your awesome. Mm.
Well, I have to drink my awesome sauce.
All right. Tom Newman, the Draven Corvus, says...
It tastes kind of like V8.
And well,
it's made from the...
Tom
Except
Newman,
more carroty.
Tom Newman says... Yeah. I think it's probably a little cheesy, too.
Oh, yeah.
Tom Newman says he's the Draven Corvus.
Okay.
What kind of podcast do you record?
A long one?
One that rambles on and goes nowhere.
It's all about ballet.
Yeah.
All about ballet. Lots of classical music. Mark at Humanity Plague says, how long until Misty dresses up as Elizabeth? Or, what do you think of the state of WB animation at this time? Now, if by Elizabeth, because he wasn't specific, Elizabeth? He means Betty White, then I'm going to say tomorrow.
Nice.
Elizabeth?
Elizabeth.
Nice. Was that her name on the Golden Girls?
No, but her name is Betty. So I'm guessing that her name is probably Elizabeth.
Well, it could mean Queen Elizabeth.
It could be any. It could be Elizabeth from BioShock.
Yeah,
Infinite,
that's what I was
too.
Wondering. Is it the?
But
Elizabeth
that's not who
BioShock?
I played. I didn't play.
Yeah, I know, but everyone was dressing up as her lately. Like,
oh, really?
She's huge right now.
Well, good for BioShock. Yeah. They were so nice to work with.
I bet
they were like. Creative. It was funny because my agent called. I don't know how. I think I might be the only one from Atlas. I can't say that for sure, but I might be the only one from my agency who booked that. And their copy was spectacular.
Oh yeah.
And I play this creepy, I don't know if I'm allowed to say, I guess I could say now, right? Because the game's out.
Yeah,
but I play this creepy nanny who's walking around going, come out and take your medicine. And she kills kids when they come out. So she's not okay. And it's awesome. And I don't know where she is.
I didn't know you play that character.
Oh, yeah.
Great. That'll give me the heebie-jeebies.
Ooh, yeah. Come get your medicine. I've got
when
your
I
dolly.
Play, I'll find a recording or something.
And then I played, there's some kind of a shoot 'em up Easter egg where I'm going, oh, help! Like, I don't even
Penelope,
know, like, I'm dragged up by some
Penelope
villain.
Pit Stop or
sort
something.
Sort of like that. Yeah. But it was, I don't even remember what, like, they didn't really want me going super Southern, so I have no idea what they even sound like. It's been forever. Mm-hmm. But they were so fun, and the copy was delicious. And they would send you, like, when you auditioned, they would send you 5 characters. Mm-hmm. And the copy was like, oh, it was just so damn good. Mm-hmm. You know, like, they just wanted to make sure you could play across the board. Mm-hmm. But whoever was writing that stuff, I should look it up and send them a note, because it was mm-hmm. just spectacular. Mm-hmm. And they were so nice, and they were so fun, and the work environment was like, they called into Skype, and so I was sitting in the booth, and there were people that I couldn't see on the opposite side of a wall. Like, it wasn't like a typical fishbowl. So it was like I was sitting in a room and I couldn't see the people in the next room. Mm-hmm. So it was just me in this 4-walled room. And then people on a screen, on a computer screen, on a delay, watching and communicating with me. And then there was a technician in my headphones that I couldn't see in the next room. So it was like crazy. But everyone was so excited and they were so happy. And my agent, like I started to say, was like, this game's going to be pretty big. That's pretty exciting. And I said, It is? Because I hadn't heard anything about it. And I was like, I'm just so happy I had a good time. And so now that it's coming out, I'm like, wow, I'm really proud to be on that. Yeah. Like, that's really cool. So anyway.
So that's the Elizabeth?
I'm going to say it's Betty White.
Yeah.
I'm going with Betty White.
I'm going with that too.
Yeah, and I'm saying tomorrow. That's
I'm saying it's Elizabeth. Elizabeth. That was my archaeology professor's bulldog. Was named Elizabeth, but because she did tooth, we always pronounced it Elizabeth.
You know what I'm dressed as right now? Elizabeth. Is the Sanford and Son Elizabeth.
Elizabeth.
Because I am an angel.
That's Elizabeth.
I am an angel all the time. So I'm going to say instant service. I'm here. All right, Philip Barker.
Okay.
Who is your favorite character to write overall ever? One character. Pick it quick.
Whichever character I'm writing now.
Alrighty. And John Chadwick's final question is, rats. No questions tonight? I've got one you can't answer in a tweet.
But we did.
No question. None. We're not taking any questions this evening. Actually, we're not taking any more.
Yeah,
so no questions. We had questions, but no more. Mm-hmm. And if his question was, where's my PS3 game? I'm still looking for it.
We have twended. We have twended or ended.
Twended.
Finished.
Finished.
We're twidone. Speaking of which, let's be twidone. Hi, Emily. Pick up your microphone. She didn't talk to you guys, but I'm going to make her talk to you. Tell them hi.
Hello.
All right. How'd your day go?
It's been long.
At what time did you go in?
5:30.
In the morning?
Yes.
What are you doing?
Oh, she was an extra today. On what show? Can you say? Well, I guess you can say.
I think I can say what show.
Yeah.
It's I Am Victor.
Okay.
It's a pilot, so.
Okay.
Nice. Was it fun?
Yeah.
It's hard work, isn't it?
A lot of standing.
Yep. A lot of sitting around waiting, too, for them to get their shit together and move cameras and lighting. And
I wish there was more sitting.
Oh, really? They made you guys? You didn't bring your own? Well, a lot of times the extras will bring their own, like, fold-up lawn chairs and stuff, right?
Yeah, we didn't do that.
You didn't have that? No. Well, because you get the pros that do that for, like, they make a whole career out of extra work, and they're really good, you know? But they've got all these backstories, and they bring all this shit with them, and
got to meet a lot of nice, interesting people.
Yeah? Did you? I wonder if Donna, wouldn't that be something? We have a friend named Donna Kent, who works and does extra work sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And she's amazing. She's so awesome. My dad used to
do a lot of that because he was on the board of SAG in San Francisco when he lived up there about 20 years ago. He wound up in a lot of movies.
Mm-hmm.
Every movie that shot in San Francisco, like during the early.
Wait, he had pictures of himself with Kelsey Grammer.
Yeah, like about 88 to whenever they moved out of Orinda, from 88 to like 99, or when he moved back to Boston, he always in the background, you know, here and there doing stuff.
Yeah. Well, he should have been in the foreground. Your dad's so talented.
Yeah, I mean, he got a line or two here and there.
He's really good. But extra work is tough. I do not envy your day. That's a hard day, girl. That's tough work. Long.
I still had to get up and walk because most of my shots are directly in line with the actors.
Mm-hmm.
It was
because you're pretty.
It was.
They always pull the pretty ones and they feature them. They do all the time.
They called her specifically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they called most of the people.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
They're selective. There are some that turn in their pictures and the people are like, yeah, no. They do that.
I was an extra in a movie.
You were?
You can actually see me because I screwed up the shot.
What movie?
Chainsaw Fall?
Invasion of the Body Snatchers, the remake from the late 70s with Donald Sutherland. Yes.
Oh, wow.
What do you do?
Walk around lost.
And you screw up the shot.
Basically what happened was there's a shot of, it's toward the end of the movie, Donald Sutherland and Brooke Adams, I think, are sneaking into this big complex in the back of a truck.
Okay.
And they're going into this big complex where all the pod people are growing the pods in like this giant greenhouse.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And there was a scene where you're looking from their point of view, there's a loading dock and there are these workers like walking back and forth. So they put me in a big lumpy green jumpsuit and I was supposed to walk out and then walk, you know, and go over, you know, just walking in front of camera.
Like you knew where you were going.
Yeah. And what happened was I actually got the direction wrong. I walk, stop, look around blankly, and then go back the way I came. And the AD kind of yelled at me and said, hey, you weren't supposed to do that. You were supposed to walk over there and exit. What happened? I said, oh, I got confused and I just went back the way I came. He said, all right, we got to go again. And so what happened was, and I felt like a total lox, you know, like
I should say,
like I blew the shot. They had to go again.
Your job was to walk in a line. I couldn't even be a convincing pod,
you know.
Oh my god!
I'm supposed to walk around like a drone, you know, like I just like, oh, I'm out of my head. I'm a pod person, and then I go to see the movie. later that year, and I'm walking, and that was the shot they kept. It's like, hey, the big dumb lost guy got, you know, that kid's wandering around lost. Let's use
you
that
realize
shot.
We need to find
him. Oh, yeah.
We do.
Going on the
and there I am, you know, wandering around lost, you know, and blowing my shot. It's like, that was the one they used because I, you know, only a veg would walk like that.
God. All right. You know, let's end on that.
Yeah. That's it. For our podcast.
Oh. Okay, let's end on that. Because I'm done now.
What?
I guess what the name of this podcast is. What?
What?
This has been another episode of Radio Rashi. If you've enjoyed this episode, let everyone know by leaving a review in the iTunes store. It's a great way to help others find us. You can also leave comments on RadioRashi.com, Facebook.com/RadioRashi, or follow us on Twitter at Radio Rashi or at Paul_Dini to leave us questions. Thanks for listening, and tell your friends.